Okay, good evening, Rabbosai. Welcome to the, there's actually going to be a third chelek in Hilchas Mezuzah, but it's going to be a standalone, of course, and we're going to discuss which rooms are chayev in Mezuzah. We discussed some issues prior to tonight's shir, but tonight we're going to talk about jail, not because it comes up so lemaisa on a regular basis, although it's definitely lemaisa for people, for Jewish people and religious people, unfortunately, but the lamdas is fascinating. We'll just spend a minute on that, then we'll talk about storage rooms, boiler rooms just for a minute, and then a large portion of tonight will be talking about bedrooms and the shul, if we get there. So let's begin with jails. So the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Amud Beis, tells us a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it history or halacha or a mixture of both. Were there mezuzahs in the Beis HaMikdash? Tan Rabbanan. Kol halishkas shayu b'mikdash, all the offices, lo hi alahen mezuzah, with one exception. Chutz milishkas parhedrin, that word, lishkas parhedrin, you might remember from, well, which mesechtes is Yoma, from Yom Kippur, where they would put the Kohen Gadol for a week before the Yom Kippur would arrive to make sure he wouldn't become tamei, shayu b'beis dira l'Kohen Gadol. And therefore, that room, since he lived there, so they put a mezuzah. So you see two interesting things. First of all, it's the Beis HaMikdash and it doesn't have a mezuzah except this one room. Second of all, you see, even though it's 1 week's stay, it's going to get a mezuzah, which is not a topic we'll talk about tonight. But that's an important point about summer houses and vacation homes and things that are temporary homes. Does that require a mezuzah or not? Look at Rabbi Yehuda's response, though. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo kama lishkos hayu b'mikdash shayu lehen beis dira. There were not just the Kohen Gadols, there was numerous places where other people also lived or ate, or the other Kohana, maybe they dozed off, whatever other things that they did, right? They slept a little bit here or there. V'lo yoleh mezuzah, ela lishkas parhedrin gzera hayis. There's a special gzera d'rabbanan to put a mezuzah there, which we'll see in just a moment. Even though midoraisa, none of the offices of the Beis HaMikdash have to have parhedrin needed for a specific reason, says the Gemara. Rabbanan Savri, that the Kohen Gadol's room, the parhedrin, needed a mezuzah because dira bal karcha shma dira. I think you're beginning to smell the connection to a jail.
Yeah.
The Kohen Gadol had no choice. He wasn't asked. He was ordered. He was not allowed to leave this room, this office. He was locked up here against his will. And Rabbanan say, well, you know what? I'm sorry that it's against your will, but it is dira. It might be dira bal karcha, but it is dira, and therefore you do have to put a mezuzah there. That's what Rabbanan hold, and I assume that we pass in like Rabbanan.
Hold on.
Comes Rabbi Yehuda, this is one of the most geshmak lines around. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? No. Dira bal karcha lo shmei dira. A jail, a place that you're forced into, that's not called living, that's not called dira, shouldn't be obligated mezuzah. The only reason why we put a mezuzah on that office is a gzera d'rabbanan that what? Midrabbanan hu d'dakinula shelo yomru kohen gadol chavash b'veis ha'asurim. So that when the whole world walks to the Beis HaMikdash and they see his office and they see a mezuzah there, in their minds they'll think, oh, he's not being held against his will. Because every person who walks to the Beis HaMikdash knows, every Joe Shmo knows that if he was forced there, then it wouldn't be chayav mezuzah. So it's mezuzah, it must be, he wants to be there. It's a PR. PR. It's mamish using mezuzahs as PR, not to show you're Jewish, you're not Jewish. When I was in Lakewood, there was an organization, URA. What they used to do is they used to go to communities that they know had a high Jewish population in central Jersey. At a certain point in time, I don't know, about 40 years ago, there was a gigantic exodus from Brooklyn of all the non-religious conservative Jews from Brooklyn to central Jersey. So on Hanukkah time, they go around these cities, these towns in central Jersey, looking who doesn't have Kretzmach lights and who has mezuzahs, you know, electric mezuzahs. And they would knock on people's doors and say, you know, there's a Hanukkah party in the neighborhood, you know, in 3 days, please come join us. And that's how they would find out. That's how they'd sort of get people to, you know, affiliate. Yeah, that's how they'd begin their affiliation.
Right.
So, you know, you could do the same thing with mezuzahs. Look around, like the Mishalachim do this. They look around, they see if there's a mezuzah on the door. They know it's a Jewish house. So that's mamish. It's not just a mitzvah. It's PR. That's what the Rebbe Yehuda holds. So nobody should think he's locked up. So halacha l'maisa, can we apply this logic to a jail? Comes Rabbi Kveger and says, Beis Asurim chayev mezuzah, because we pass in like Rabbanan, of course, when there's machlokas Rabbanan and others, and therefore, the dira bal karcha shmei dira. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the beginning of Hilchos Reish Pei Vav in Yoredeya, is the siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about which rooms, which houses are chayiv or not. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eger paskins that a jail would be chayiv in a mezuzah, even though the people being incarcerated there are not interested, not willing, are being held there against their will. However, he brings, there's a Tshuva Shara Fry, I'm sorry, he brings Beis Hillel, one of the Achronim, who says that you're pater. Why? I don't understand why they would be pater. That sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Chachamim, presumably, that Dira Bal Kocha Shmei Dira. So I don't know what how the Achronim explain his position, but something to think about.
Is it any ownership? Like, do you have to own it? If you were in a prison...
Yeah, that could be another question. The question is, who owns it? Is it a shutfus? That might be next week's discussion. But if it's a shutfus between two Jews, then it is required to...
But the question is, is it a chiv on the gavra or the bayish?
That's a question that the Gemara already answered. It's not a chiv on the dais. The Gemara asks you a question. The Gemara says, clearly, who has to pay for the mezuzah, the tenant or the landlord?
The tenant.
Clearly the tenant. And therefore, it's on the gavra, not on the bayish. I mean, it's a din on the gavra that his bayish has to have a mezuzah. But it's a din on the gavra. And therefore, it could be that, again, it might depend if it's an Israeli jail, the shutfin involved are Jews, it could be an American jail, maybe the shutfin are the people of America, or if it's a state penitentiary, then it could be the partner, it's a shutfin of all the people in this state or that state. And if we'll see maybe next week that if there's a shutfin between Goyim and Jews, such a building does not have to get a mezuzah. So, but on the other hand, if this room is occupied by a Jew, so maybe that would require a mezuzah. So what do you have here? Rabbi Kveger saying no, and Basil saying yes, and Machlokas. Fine. Says Aruch HaShulchan. Oh, that's the end of the circuit. We finished jail. Just a cute little point. I thought it would be fascinating. Just, you know, raya from, you know, we bring a proof to the guy sitting in jail for doing who knows what from none other than the Kohen Gadol himself. So it's just an interesting irony. Now, let's talk about places where you keep things. Under the steps, in the basement, in the boiler room, in the garage. So a very important introduction to that will be the following line of the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's say you have a room that you don't use much. You store things in it, but you don't use it much. So we're going to see that places where you store things are considered dira. Storage of your life possessions is called dira. That's part of living, is having your stuff. The question is, how often do you have to go in there to warrant it, to be considered that it's dira? Look at this Aruch HaShulchan in Reish Pei Tes. So he brings a sheet of Mekubetzes that says, Afil yesh l'adam harbi batim. Again, let's assume harbi batim doesn't mean he has 12 houses. Maybe he does. But it certainly has a lot of rooms. V'yesh she'eno nechanes lam rak pa'am b'shana. And he only enters it once a year. Kulam chayam v'mimzuza she'zeh mikrei dira. If you go in there once a year, that's called a dira, and that would be obligated in mezuzah. I'm assuming he's talking about rooms. I actually spoke to Rabbi Schechter 2 weeks ago, and he said he told me not like this. He said if it's a room in somewhere, you know, in the attic or in the boiler room that you only go in there twice a year, three times a year, you know, you take the place where you put your sukkah beams in your garage, like a walk-in Pesach closet. Very good, excellent. A walk-in Pesach closet, a walk-in Pesach kitchen. That you only go in, for when you go in, you're going in for 2 weeks straight. I wonder. I hear you. The whole reason why you have it is that you could cook before Pesach, a few days before Pesach. I don't know. I hear your heart. That could be a good point. You're saying it's only once a year, but when it is that once a year, it's for a short period of time, which of course is not Chayim Mezuzah, it's only a week, right? That we know, 2 weeks is not Chayim Mezuzah. That's a good hara. I don't know the answer. Good point. Boiler rooms, I think, are very much kind of this situation. Like, you probably have the boiler, and then you have like those those extra chairs in case you have more guests than you ever have. Like, you have your regular extra chairs, and then those three old chairs that you got from when the old shul burnt down. They tried to raise money and they sold like those old chairs. And you keep those like backups to the backups to the backups in the boiler room. I'm not the only one here? Okay, fine. So let's look at what I think is a great diuk in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's actually in the Gemara, in terms of boiler rooms. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is just the Sif Aleph in the Simon that talks about rooms that are chayev or not. Eilu ha-makom shechayev b'mezuzah. Shari batim, the door, the gates to a house. Shari chatzeres to a chatzer. Refes bakar, a barn. Lulin, chicken coop, a house. Ve'otzos yavishemen, a wine cellar. A wine cellar is yom kol into too often, but you go into wine cellars once in a while, like the Mishnah in the beginning of Pesachim talks about. You have to check for chametz because you go in there once in a while. Sif beis, beis hateven, the place where you keep your straw. Okay, but that's you going in there for what? For eating your animals. Ubeis ha'etzim. What's a beis ha'etzim?
Woodshed.
A woodshed. That's not a boiler room, isn't it? I hear the difference is that your woodshed you have to go in regularly. I just was very excited. The concept of a boiler room is maja beis ha'etzim.
If you had a cold room, that one
would be a cold room. I hear what you're saying. A cold room would be equivalent. Okay, fine. So you're saying I don't have a good raya for boiler rooms. I hear that. Okay. But what's also important, let's now shift to the next sugya, which is going to be a very interesting discussion. There's a lot to discuss, a lot of people are not familiar with.
Just before we go there, one of the lines here is garages. The garage door, which would go up, that's not tied in because it doesn't have a post on top?
Let's deal with two questions. Garages are 100% dira and 100% the chayv mezuzah, equally to everybody else. The second question is, what's the kind of Pesach that it is? Is it a Pesach that warrants? So then you have to see there has to be something jutting out from the right and left side and something dropping down from the top, a lintel, right? There has to be a mashkof and there has to be two mezuzahs. So that depends on how your door looks. But as far as chayv, a garage door 100% is chayv, like every other room in your house. It's no different than a Beis HaTeven, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaBakar. Okay.
Also that the car is coming through.
100%, yeah. That's Dira. That's a Dira. You're using it. Anything that you use in your life, you know, in your the way you live your life, that's called Dira. Now, we're going to get into something that's a gigantic machlokas in the Gemara, to the Shas in the Gemara and Rishonim, but we're just going to take the easy route and just see how the Shulchan Aruch concludes. Says the Shulchan Aruch, when you have these different buildings, Beis HaTeven, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaBakar, in the olden days, apparently, they didn't have bathrooms and bathhouses and showers and bathtubs. So people would shower outside, but you don't want to shower outside, because then everyone's going to see you. So they showered outside, but inside. Meaning like in the shed, in the barn, in the storage, something or other. Because they weren't showering in their, you know, in their kitchen. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Im ha'nashim rochatzos bahem, since the people won't be dressed where they're if they're showering in these various places, in kavod shamayim liyos shamizuzah.
Like a bathroom.
I won't say bathroom because that's a different sieve in Shulchan Aruch. I'll say because that's more of a there's tinofus there. There's disgustingness. There's excrement there.
Right.
Here it's more like a mikvah or a pool or a. I remember when I was in Boy Scout camp, Again, I mentioned Boy Scout camp last week, didn't I? Yeah, camp 10 Mile River, Kunata. They had, we didn't have running water at the campsites. Each troop, so we had a frum troop, and we didn't have running water at our campsite. In the center of the camp, they had the dining room, and then the right next to the dining room, they had like the running water, and they were like public showers, mamash a bathhouse. So that bathhouse wouldn't need a mezuzah. Okay, fine, let's leave it at that.
Why do you know she was mentioned? What a bit.
That's a good point. The Gemara only talks about Nashim. The Gemara only speaks about Nashim. It could be that in the olden days, men, when they went swimming, maybe they didn't wear bathing suits. I assume they didn't wear bathing suits.
Maybe
they went to
the bathhouse.
And maybe... yeah, it could be. The mashmos is that it's a problem of women, Badafka. I hear your hara. Because after all, you know that like regarding brachos, it's considered an erva to make a bracha opposite a men's erva equally to a woman's erva. So I don't know, but this is he's going for the Gemara and the Rishonim all talk about nashim rochatzos. I don't know the answer. Maybe the men went to the maybe it just wasn't practical because maybe it would be equally true about men, but men wash themselves in the river. Women, for sneeze reasons, wouldn't, so they would have to have privacy, so they'd wash themselves in these various sheds or stables or whatever else. Yeah. Now, this is going to bring us to a whole nother sugya. A whole nother sugya, which I purposely did not put when we advertised this year, because it's a little more of a sensitive thing. I didn't want to publicize, you know, add a blast email to the whole shul. The question is, based on what we just said, that if women if people are not clothed, that they shouldn't, that you don't have a mezuzah there, so what's going to happen in a place where a husband and wife are living, and that place presumably also, according to the logic that we're just saying, should not be chayv and mezuzah. Uh-huh. Let's hear what the Beis Yosef says. So he's going to bring a raya, and it's going to be, this is a fascinating Beis Yosef. Kotzat haram, quotes the Tashbetz, that says, very simply, bedrooms, husband and wife's bedroom is patur min hamezuzah. Cheder aliyah sheish v'ishta yishenu but patur min hamezuzah. And he brings a great raya from the Gemara Yuma, which we, again, I'm not going to the sugya, but the Gemara there is talking about Beis HaKisi, Beis HaMechaz, Beis Burski, which is not what we just saw in the Shulchan Aruch. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch the storage places where people are washing. He's quoting a different line in the Gemara, which talks about other, more disgusting rooms where people are, that are putter. And the Gemara says that the reason why certain rooms are putter, mipnesha nashim miskashtos, women are get dressed there. If that's the case, if women getting dressed is the reason for the room to be potter, so he brings a raya that there that a, where a family lives, where a husband and wife live, doesn't is not chayv in a mezuzah at all.
So bedroom, you don't need.
So be in a girl's bedroom, she gets dressed in.
It used to be that people had.
It doesn't have. I'm saying it doesn't have to be exclusive.
I hear what you're saying.
People used to only have one room in their entire house.
That is correct. That is correct. So we said last week that the we saw last week that the who was it? The Maharam we quoted had 24 rooms.
Right.
But again, the Maharam was the Gadol Hador, so it you know people like you know want to make the rabbi live beautifully, so they give him a big house. So.
You think that the Maharam would talk about it?
Okay, so hold on. We'll see. We'll see. So that's what the Tashbetz says, that you have a raya from a Mefresha Gemara that a bedroom is potter from mezuzah. Says the Beis Yosef in the next paragraph, Omrani de'im isham raya, that's not a good raya. Listen to this. He's going to say an incredible lumdus. He's going to say the following. He's going to say, when do we say that if women are using it, if people are not dressed in a room, that it doesn't need to get a mezuzah? If it's what kind of room? If it's not, no. He's going to say the opposite. If it's not a regular room that you live in, it's just a storage place, so it's only a storage place, and it, so it doesn't really, really, really need. I mean, it does, but it's only a storage place. It's not a full deer. It's only a storage for, and somebody is undressed there, it's like a double whammy.
Right.
But if it's a regular room where you're living for real, like you're going to sleep there for the night, and then this is where you live, so that's a more of a chiyuv dikur, that's more of a base dira, and there we won't have the kula of nashim rachatzos, the gevaldige svara that the Beis Yosef uses to knock out the raya of the ptura that nashim rachatzos in those other rooms, because those other rooms are not real diras.
So what does it do with the idea of kain kavod shamayim? It's not covered though. It is not covered if it, people are getting. Affected.
He's saying that svara would only work
if it's a
room that is not a real dira. Then we'll say, oh, if it's not a real dira and it's not kavod shamayim, the room will be exempt. Beautiful svara. Then he brings another svara, the second half, and he says, "Va'od." In the second line of the second paragraph, then the line, "Va'od." Dafila b'hanach lo patre elam epneisha nashim rochatzos shamarumas. He says, there, the reason for being patre, like the Gemara said, like the Shulchan Aruch says, because people are walking around mamish without clothing on, as opposed to in a bedroom where they even though they're covered up. So therefore it would be chayev. Now the Shulchan Aruch Taka paskins, you'll see in the Ramah, what do we paskin? How do we pask? Mikra din, does a bedroom need, does a bedroom not need? Let's see. You'll see a very cool diuk of one word of the Ramah, and you'll appreciate the word of the Ramah now because you saw the Beis Yosef. Says the Ramah, Hagon, top of page 2. Aval cheder mamish. What do you think the word mamish means?
Not a storage.
Not a storage, exactly. You would never have known this if you wouldn't have seen the Beis Yosef. Cheder mamish, if it's not a storage place, then it's going to need a mezuzah. Afilu makom shiish v'ish yishenu v'sham shem sham, chai, it will need a mezuzah. Of course, if it's not a cheder mamish, it's only storage, then maybe it wouldn't. So he's going with that svar. Then he brings another shita. V'yesh mekim v'om d'chol makom shenashen shalach v'os patme mezuzah. That taka, the bedroom will not need a mezuzah. So what do we have? We have 2 days in the Ramah, whether a bedroom needs a mezuzah. Look at the incredible compromise psak, or compromise solution that the Ramah offers. V'nira li. Divamakam shahadelis mi bifnim, Wow, we could just readjust how we have the door and how we have the mezuzah. Let's situate them. Put the mezuzah on the outside of the door. Okay, so that's great. And then if you, the door is closed, then the mezuzah is end up out of the room. And it's not inside the room.
Most doors, it's on the Pesach, and then you close the door, so it's not going to be...
Terrific. So that will solve the problem. We found the solution.
Isn't it usually they put double lamp on the...
What?
The sofa.
Yeah, we'll get there. Hopefully if we have time. So, comes the Avnei Nezer in Yoreder Shimpei Gimel, and he brings this opinion. What, if you remember, one of the opinions was, the second opinion of the Ramo was that a room that's where a family lives is part of a mezuzah. So he asks the question, why would that opinion say that you're pater entirely from a mezuzah? After all, isn't there a very easy solution? What happens if there's something that's holy that you want to have in a place where there's erva around? What happens if you're going on a flight and you have your carry-on bag and you have your tefillin and you have to go to the bathroom? You leave your tefillin outside the bathroom and you in the airport and you go into the bathroom? First of all, it gets stolen. Second of all, they'll call the bomb squad.
Put it in a bag. It's a bag.
Right, so it's in a double cover. It's in double a double bag. Covering. So, says the Avnei Nezer, why would there be an opinion who says, oh, since there are people that are not dressed, just you don't have to put a mezuzah on this room. I don't understand. Just put a double covering on the mezuzah and you don't have to worry about pater. Don't say the room is pater because somebody is undressed there. Say, put a double covering on the mezuzah. We'll talk about the double covering in a moment. So he says, we'll talk about that in a minute. That'll be the next point. But the Avnei Nezer has incredible svara. This is Mamash Olam, this is svara that he's about to say. He says that, wait a second. What's the whole point of a kli b'toch kli? That the tefillin are not in the bathroom, right? You put it in a plastic bag or underneath a t-shirt in your suitcase as a kli b'toch kli, so that means your tefillin are not in the bathroom. So that's great when you want to bring your tefillin into the bathroom because you don't want your tefillin to be in the bathroom. But says the Avnei Nezer, what's the whole point of a mezuzah? To be? Not in the room?
On your door.
The point of the mezuzah is to be in your room, on your room, on your house. Al mezuzah be'sachah v'yisharachah. So if you're going to say, no, I'm going to put it here, how so? So that it's not here. The whole point is that it should be on the house. And you're doing something to make it not on the house. So if the only way that you could put it on the house is making it not in the house, so you're wasting the whole point of the mezuzah. Look at what he says. Venera disrelay. The kli b'soch kli chashiv. The lomdus of kli b'soch kli is that it's chashiv kiel ein hasur and klal b'bayis. Like the tefillin is not in the bathroom; it's double wrapped. Ma'ashein ki b'mezuzah shetzricha lios sham. Vim came imanav shach. If you say that it's not here because it's double covers, you're mevatel misses mezuzahs. Al ken chashvis lak il yeshna. So it must be that. Okay, so you see an incredible. It's a gishmak lomdus. Of how he's understanding that because you need the mezuzah there, so therefore you don't want the mezuzah to be kli b'soch kli. Therefore, he just says that this opinion says that such room would be pater entirely. So we have so far two solutions. One solution is you place the mezuzah on the outside door. Second solution is if it's on the inside of the door, it could be covered over, so it would be kli b'soch kli. Now I want to point out we typically use a mezuzah case, what the person called a shvaferes, a tube. So that's already one cover. So if you put a shmata, a towel, or something, a t-shirt just hanging on top of that mezuzah case, that would be a kli, b'soch kli.
What about if your mezuzah is sealed in plastic?
We're going to get there at the very, very end. Oh, that's going to be the last point in the Mishnah Berurah and source number 9 that I underlined. So let's just clarify, go over for a minute the halachas of kli, b'soch kli. This is a sugya that is really in Hilchas Tefillin, but it's the same thing. Hilchas Tefillin, Hilchas Sefer Torah, Hilchas Svarim, Hilchas Mezuzah, it's all the same. It's any Dava Shebukdusha. So, Bayis Sheyesh Bo Tefillin is a Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tefillin Simon Mem. So if there's a Bayis Sheyesh Bo Tefillin, also the Shamish Bo Mitaso until you put it to Kli B'soch Kli. Now, what's the parameters of a Kli B'soch Kli? V'hu She'ein HaShenim Miyuchad Lahem. One of the Kelim has to not be designated for this purpose. So therefore, if you have a if you have a talus bag, the talus bag is the you have the velvet, and then you have the plastic talus bag. So since both are designated for your tefillin, that's not called a kli b'soch kli. One of those two, either the velvet or the plastic, could be considered one kli. And then you put it in a plastic bag or wrap it in a t-shirt, that will be a kli b'soch kli. So at least one of the two has to not be miyuchad for the item that you're trying to wrap. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura. Skip the first and source number 9, Sifkat and Zion. Kli b'soch kli. Lav davka kelim du adin shnei kisu. You don't actually have to put it into a different kli. You just have to cover it over with two coverings. Fine. That's the first point. Second point. Vimpirish tell. What about does the covering have to wrap it at 360? Let's say this is my thing that I want to bring into a bathroom. So do I have to wrap it entirely, or if it's over here, I just have to wrap it on, cover it on top. See that? So says the Mishnah Brura that all you need, if you have it sitting down on something and covering it on top, that's considered a kisui. You don't have to wrap it 360. It's considered if it's covered, if it's sitting on something and covered from the other side, that will be sufficient. The third point is that we mentioned that one of them has to not be miyuchad. So therefore, let's say you have a mezuzah case, that's miyuchad. So you can't have two mezuzah cases. It could be one mezuzah case plus one thing hanging over it. And here we have, he finishes the Chachmas Adam, which I underlined. He says, wait a second. If you wrap the mezuzah in a niyar, and then you put it in a mezuzah case, so niyar is not, depends why you put that niyar there. If you put the niyar there specifically so that this could be considered one of the kelim, that would be enough. So it happens to be that many sofrim do this. They wrap it around in a niyar, and then that will be one kli, and then you put it in the mezuzah case, it's a second kli, you solve the problem right then and there. So if you're going to get a mezuzah for a bedroom, you should tell the sofer, or you yourself, when you roll it up, to wrap it in a niyar, that it will therefore constitute a kli b'soch kli, and you won't need any of the other solutions of placing the mezuzah outdoor, or hanging something on top, cloth on top of it. That will be mutter. Now, the only thing you have to keep in mind is if it's a clear cellophane, they usually use wax paper or plastic wrap, which are see-through. You also have a lucite or a glass mezuzah case, so it's vital see-through. So even though halachically you have a kli b'soch kli, you didn't solve your problem because it's still visually it's see-through. And whenever there's something opposite erva, you always have to have, like we spoke about in the Gemara Shir, if you have a window in front of a shul and people walking by and they're not dressed properly, so that's going to be a problem. Even if there was excrement on the other side of the window. A window is a hefsek, and you could daven opposite excrement if there's a hefsek there. But for erva, you need to be not see it. So therefore, a lucite container wouldn't work if it's wrapped in saran wrap or wax paper, and it's a lucite, clear lucite, plastic mezuzah case. That would not work. So for the bedroom, you should use a non lucite and wrap the mezuzah, and you'll be it will be considered kli b'soch kli. Let's skip. There are more Mekel Dekashitas. We're going to skip the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Let's go to the most Mekel opinion. The Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchas Mezuzah Reish Pevav is the most Mekel. And he says something he asks very, very strong questions. The first question he asks is, the Gemara talks about Kli V'Soch Kli. It talks about it in the context of mezuzah. It talks about it in terms of taking a sefer Torah to a bathroom. But it doesn't mention anything about... I'm sorry. It talks about it by tefillin. It talks about it by sefer Torah. It does not speak about it by mezuzah. Why doesn't the Gemara ever mention the concept of kli b'soch kli in the context of mezuzah? And more so, how often do you bring your tefillin into the bathroom? When it's in your carry-on bag and you're traveling by yourself and you have to go to the bathroom in the airport. Basically once a year, twice a year. And yet here you have a case, a mezuzah, every mezuzah on a family's house, every single mezuzah is by definition going to be in that situation. Every time there's a family that has a mezuzah on their door, it comes up so much more often than a Sefer Torah or Tefillin that are going into a bathroom. So why does the Gemara mention it? And the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch don't even mention the Rambam points it out, but the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch don't mention it either. So look at what he says. Elavadai, here's an incredible svara in the third paragraph. Elavadai, David okay. The came the Zeh Behechruch, there's one Hashem. One Hashem, right? We're about to get the Torah on Shavuos, and we realize that there's one Hashem. You know what Hashem told us? He told us two things. He told us, put a mezuzah on your house. Mm-hmm. And what else did he tell us? Puruvu. So, how is that going to happen? It's a stira. Mm-hmm. Elamai, what is he telling you? He must be telling you that you could put a mezuzah on a house. Elavadai, David, the came in the Zeh Behechruch, Shatoru Gazra Lassos Mezuzah. And the same God, Vahatoru Gazra Priya Verivya, Vadai Shein Sarach Kli Tokli. It sounds almost like you don't need anything. El Kisi Bialma, Vulai Gamin Sarach Zain Sarach. Why? Kimshin Stavino Zeh. There's no halacha, there's no requirement that a sefer Torah has to be in a bathroom, that someone has to be in a bathroom. But if there's a mitzvah of purva, and there's a mitzvah of mezuzah, it must be that the Torah said, you don't need to cover up a mezuzah in such a case. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan is cool, you should know, by the way. The Aruch HaShulchan had an incredible knack for being Malam Ezechilis and Klal Yisrael. The famous Aruch HaShulchan that people like to quote, which again is wrong. We spoke about it in the Shir and the Gemara Shir. People quote it as saying that you don't have to cover your hair nowadays when women don't cover their hair. That's not what he says. He just says that in time when people don't have to cover your hair, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema, opposite uncovered hair. If that's
it's
just
not hair
it's not that. Right. Therefore, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. He doesn't say that it's mutter to do, but and we've seen other Aruch HaShulchan who is Melamed Zechus on Minhag Al Klal Yisrael. So this is another case where he gives you a really it's a nice svara. It's a very pretty svara to exempt a bedroom entirely from the din of Kli V'Soch Kli. Fine. Let's finish off tonight talking about a shul. Now, we started off this year in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara in Yuma, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, talks about some other point, and it's Yachol Shanimar Ba'af HaRabayis V'Lishkos V'Azoros, maybe they should have to be get a mezuzah, Talmud Lomar, a bias. The pasuk of mezuzah, Savta HaMezuzahs Beisecha, is bias. Ma bias shulchol, avkol shulchol, yatu elishen kodesh. We have a gzeres hakasav that says that only things that are, anything that's kodesh does not require a mezuzah. So if you stop here, we would automatically exempt the Beis HaMikdash, a shul, and a Beis HaMedrash. That's where if we would stop here. And that's talk what the Gemara Brachas assumes. Again, a totally different context. The Gemara is talking about something that just says the following five words. Beis Knesset, Beis HaMedrash, less boom mezuzah. Fine. Now, the tour, that's what the Bavli says. Two places, clearly, that a shul and a Beis HaMedrash don't need a mezuzah. The tour says something interesting, and then he brings a fascinating story. I'll tell you the story, and then we'll see it together. The Marami Rotenberg, who we talked about a few minutes ago, you remember when I told you about the Marami Rotenberg? That he had 40 rooms in his house, and it's said that he had 40 mezuzahs. This story must have happened before he put those mezuzahs up. Maybe that's why he became famous for saying that he had 40 rooms and put 40 mezuzahs up, because of maybe the following story. Marami Rotenberg used to, I assume he had a room in his house where he learned. If you have 40 rooms in your house, and you're the Godel Hador, presumably you learn in one of them, right? And he used to take a nap, a siesta, Bein Hastarim in the afternoons, like all good yeshiva boys. And you know what would happen? There was a ruach ra'a. I don't know what the words mean. There's a ruach ra'a that would bother him while he took his nap in the afternoon in his Beis Medrash. And that made him realize that he has to put up a mezuzah in the Beis Medrash. And therefore, because originally he felt you don't have to. So after he realized he's getting his Ruach Ra while he's taking his nap, he decided he's going to put a mezuzah up in the Beis Medrash. The Ruach Ra stopped, and the Maram Ratzmer realized that he did the right thing, and therefore you should put up a mezuzah in your Beis Medrash. Pretty wild. So Yishami also. The Yishami says that the Beis Medrash of Reb Chanina had a mezuzah, and then he brings the story of the Marami Rotenberg. The Torah quotes this story. Fascinating. So how do we paskin? We saw two places in the Bavli that you don't need to. We saw Yerushalmi says you do need to. And we have this crazy story of the Marami Rotenberg that he did. How do we paskin? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Now keep in mind, there are going to be two Shulchan Aruchs here. There's going to be a Shulchan Aruch by Beis Knesses. There's going to be a separate Shulchan Aruch by Beis Medrash. Nowadays we use the words interchangeably. And we'll see what the difference is going to be. The Shach will tell us what the difference is. Beis HaKnesses, Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Reish Pei Vav, Sif Gimel. Beis HaKnesses. So he says very clearly, if it's only Im Yesh Bo Dira, L'Shem Adam, is Chayav B'Mezuzah. Right? If the rabbi lives up on top, like for example, or somewhere in there, then it's Chayav B'Mezuzah, Hagah. Vim Beis Dira Ba'azara, Shlifnei Beis HaKnesses, Hazar, Chayav Beis HaKnesses, Padu. Let's say they have, you go into a courtyard. The courtyard is an open courtyard, and then you go from the courtyard into the Beis Medrash, into the shul. Like in Eretz Yisrael, you see this sometimes. And that courtyard also opens up to a private residence. So if there's a private residence in that courtyard, then the courtyard is chayav. If not, if it's just the shul doesn't need a mezuzah, the courtyard doesn't need a mezuzah. So you see clearly that a Beis Knesses, if it's a pure Beis Knesses, is not chayav in a mezuzah. I would venture to say that the sanctuary that we have up here is a real din Beis Knesses. Real din Beis Knesses, with all the Beis Knesses that they're, what? In the front? Mr. Davies, no one eats there, right? Mr. Davies doesn't let anybody eat in the front basement.
No.
Right. If they do try to eat it, they won't live to the next week. I don't know if that would be considered drinking. You're right. You're right. I don't. And the kids also eat candies. And I don't think that would be considered. Right. That's a good raya. Right. Dina de Gemara is Dina de Gemara to drink in the base Knesset.
No, you make it.
Dina de Gemara, right? That's a good point. And I guess that wouldn't work. Again, the kids eating candies,
that's
lollipops. Here in some shuls, even the adults are eating lollipops. Not proper before kiddush. It's not proper. Anyway, that's not for now. Okay, so therefore. Can I ask you a question? And you're going to love this question. You're going to love this question. Mezuzah is a mitzvah midah. Midah raisa. Kedushas beis haknesses is midah. Kedushas beis hamikdash is midah raisa. And midah rabbanan, there's kedushas beis knesses as well. So how in the world could a kedushas beis haknesses, which is midah rabbanan, Knock off. A mitzvah is a seder raisa of mezuzah. You like that?
Say that again?
Sure. The base knesses is, it's kedusha, which the kedusha is what makes it not need a mezuzah, right? So the kedusha that it has is only kedusha midrabanan. So how could a kedusha that only has midrabanan be strong enough to knock off?
In the case of Shev Yaltasin.
Why do you need? I don't know. I don't think we say. The Rabbanim wanted to oker something here. What do they have against mezuzah?
Once it has kedusha, it has the mezuzah. Once it has kedusha, the Rabbanim find it has kedusha, that takes away the mezuzah.
I hear. You're saying good. What do you want to say? Okay. This is the Chasam Sofer's question.
How
beis haknesses kedusha also midrabanan. The Chasam Sofer and Shas Tshuvas Yoredei Reish Pei Aleph. Beis Knesses Kedushas is only midrabanan. Eich yipater mezuzah v'pnei Kedushaso. So he says. Then he also asks, if it's a function of kedusha of Eiter. So you remember we started off this year with, by jails with the Lishkas Parhedrin.
Right.
The Lishkas Parhedrin. We said that it's a question: does he live there? Does he not live there? Dira, shmei dira, dira bal kocha lav shmei dira. Forget whether you live there or not. The point is that it's kadosh, nidoraisa. So the kedusha shabo should pater it. If we have a pasuk, right? The pasuk says bayis shulchol afkol shulchol yotzei el shulein kodesh. So that means that anything that's kodesh doesn't is not chayav mezuzah. So why did that office where the kohen gadol lived need a mezuzah? It was part of the Beis Hamikdash. It was kodesh. Whether he lived there or didn't live there, either way, it's kodesh. Very strong question of the Chasam Sofer. Again, the question is if we have a pasuk bias, but only something that's a bias shulchol and anything that's kodesh is pater. So why would the Beis Hamikdash, that room where the Kohen Gadol lived, be chayav? After all, it's kodesh. So he says something. He says something very, very important and fundamental, and the soda stick in this whole sugya of mezuzahs on holy places. He says that don't just look at the word holy place or not holy place. What kind of dira is it? Is it a dira of a plebeian or is it a dira of kodesh? When the Kohen Gadol lived there, what kind of living was he doing there?
Let me read.
He was doing a dira of kodesh, meaning he was living in Hashem's house. So it's pater. As opposed to a house where what kind of living is there? Plebeian living. So that kind of living is chayav. So it's not whether this house is kodesh or this house is... It depends on the dira of this house. Is a diras hedyot or is it a diras kodesh? Look at the bottom paragraph. Heavenly based chum, when the Torah says that you should put on mezuzas beisecha, that means diras chol v'hedyot, as opposed to diras gavoa. Fine.
What's the svara? Why is kodesh in general?
It's exeris hakasav. It's exeris hakasav. Beisecha.
I understand, but probably from the svara behind that.
You're saying what is it? So let's not say it is a svara. Let's just say that in different words. Let's say, what do we learn from this Gzeiras? Not what's the reason for the Gzeiras HaKadosh, what is the Gzeiras HaKadosh teaching us about the concept of mitzvah being only in a non-holy place? So we could think of answers.
It's already Kadosh, it doesn't need a mitzvah.
You sound like Korach.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm saying, yeah.
That's what's right? Right? Baya Shekulo, Svarim, Tala Shekulo, Tchela. So if it has Kadosh, it doesn't need a mitzvah. I know, I like your svara, but that's a bit. No, but you're saying that it's a base of it, it doesn't need it. So, we could think of svaras.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I have to think about what the svaras are. It's a good point. Let's finish up with the contrast to a different sif in the Shulchan Aruch of a base medrash. Base medrash, first he says it's patur mezuzah, of course, because it's also a holy place, but he says, However, there are some people who say that Beis Medrash is chayav, and therefore you should be choshesh ledivrayhem. So it's machlokas, but you should be machmir to put a Beis Medrash up in a Beis Medrash, but don't make a bracha on it because it's taka machlokas. What's the reason? Skip down to number 20. What's the reason why? What's the chilah between a Beis Medrash and a Beis Knesses? The difference is that a Beis Medrash, people stay there all day. Beis Knesses is what? Beis Knesses you walk in for davening. After davening, the rabbi closes the door, locks the door. They open up for mincha, they daven mincha ma'ariv, they close the door. As opposed to Beis Medrash, where you're in all day, he doesn't say this, but like if you're in there all day, you might be eating there, you might be falling asleep there a little bit. So, or maybe not, just the fact that you're there all day, maybe that also is enough. Not sure. That's enough to make it chayev. That's going to be the distinction. I want to finish today with a beautiful Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about the Beis Hamikdash Beis Hamikdash not needing mezuzahs. And it asks a very simple question. How come, if you look at the last paragraph of source number 21, you think that the only place where somebody lived was the Lishkas Parhedrin, the Kohen Gadol, lived there for 7 days? The other Lishkas, people, the Kohen were eating all the time, maybe dozing off all the time. So how come the other places didn't need a mezuzah? Look at his answer. Look at the question and the answer, because the answer has a great Musar lesson that I wrote in English. V'yafal gav ta'akonim, third paragraph of source 21. This is the Aruch HaShulchan Reish Peivav. Sif Kav Nyud Zayin. V'yafal gav ta'akonim, hoyu ochlim ba'azor, kachri kachim, right? You have to eat in the Beis HaMikdash, because kachri kachim must be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. U'minachos, v'chein hoyu yishenim b'lishkes Beis HaMokad, k'd nam b'midas. Mishnah Midas says that they slept in this lishka. So they ate there, they slept there, so why shouldn't it need a mezuzah? How come only the Parhedrin where the Kohen Gadol was for those 7 days? Look at this incredible, beautiful answer. Mamish, this is the answer that we're going to go into Shavuos with. What kind of eating were they doing there? The eating that they were doing was eating of kachim. What kind of eating is that? That's holy eating. Why were they falling asleep in the Beis HaMokad? Bishvil havodas, they could do their avoda properly. Ravosa, what are we saying? We're saying something incredible. That if you're eating for mitzvah and you're sleeping so you could do avoda, that is called so much kodesh, halacha l'maisa, it doesn't even need a mezuzah. Incredible. Incredible. So next time you take a nap so you could go to the shir, Shabbos afternoon, you mamish realize it's not just Shabbos. You realize mamish, it's so holy that it has a din of kodesh to pater a mezuzah mida oraisa. Just a beautiful thought to think of as we go into Shavuos. Shavuos is coming, and we could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all every aspect of our lives, and we should have Kavana that all the aspects of our lives, our eating, our sleeping, should all be that we L'shem Hashem, we should go to sleep to be healthy and daven Shachris and learn well. We should eat so we should be healthy and be able to do mitzvahs. And if we do that, that will elevate the eating, the sleeping, every aspect of our lives. It should be holy. And but we still have to put mitzvahs in the
air. I'm leaving.
The beginning of Zohar HaShulchan, he says exactly what I said.